my own Sunday school teaching that I heard. Jesus came, died for us, and kind of, in a way, freed us all. Right? Just following that logic. Yet, not all humans are saved. Somehow you have to acknowledge and believe it. Not trying to go into the fundamentalistic faith, but there is one very deep universal truth that is in this teaching. You know what that is? Even if the whole universe is available to you right at your door, unless you open the door, it's not yours. God has given everything for us, but unless we reach out and embrace it, it has nothing to do with me somehow. Human being is such a wonderful and powerful being, isn't it? And the core, very core, is about how you think about yourself. So question, biggest question is, it's not about who are you. It's about what do you think who you are? What do you think? Are you thinking that you are a physical body that happens to have a software called mind? Are you the side effect of this evolution? Or are you the being that is intended and designed to be so from the beginning by the creating force, power, or God? Are you an accident? Or are you here by divine providence, purpose? Not about logical, rational statement. Again, it is about how you, inside of your mind, you accept that. And it becomes a very powerful tool for you to see yourself. And the way how you see yourself is the very filter, the way how you see the world. So, today, that's a big question that I want to kind of give it to you. What do you think who you are? Or, what do you think what you are? Let's have that in our mind. So, are you finding some answers about what you think who you are? Well, you have a name, you have a body, and you have a few, I believe, identities that some of which you might have chosen and many of which were given to you. We call us human. In Chinese characters, which has somewhat ancient wisdom, human means simply saying between two persons. What kind of definition is that? You want to define what human is, and they're saying you are between two persons. So you have to have a human to be human. Interesting, isn't it? It shows also ancient acknowledgement that we can only define what I am in terms of relationships. Human mind is pretty interesting, quite complex, yet could be very simple. But the way we define is, even if you are in an island, you still relate to things, even to the rock, even to the sand, even to the tree, and then you define yourself based on that. Is that a bad thing or a good thing? It's neither, actually. That's, in a way, how it works. So it is okay and natural for us to care about other people's opinion about me. Care about what I do and how it influences other people. And also, in general, how other people think about me. Those are all natural. Yet, is that all? Should we live like that? Well, all religion confirms that that's the beginning, that's not the end. So you do a journey. There's a book actually written by a psychiatrist, doctor, who is not even a religious person, according to himself. It's called Evolving Self. And he, in his actually medical professional observation, people somehow go growth in somewhat this spiral way. There is me only. I'm more important. Then next is you're more important. And then you get disappointed or something happened. You move back. No, no, no. I need to take care about myself. And then you bet again, well, I've been too selfish. So I need to care about other people. There's kind of journey between I and us. And there's a growth happens in our mind, kind of in his very simplified way of saying, when we're born, the babies, they're wonderful and beautiful. Also, they're pure selfish, right? So babies go, the first stage is, I am my desire. So when I'm hungry, I myself is hunger itself. So somebody has to feed me. Or I need to be fed. Otherwise, I will be uncomfortable forever. Or when my diaper is wet, same thing. But when they grow a little older, they acknowledge and see that, oh, I and desire not the same thing. I have a desire. Therefore, when I'm hungry, I don't really have to cry aloud like that. I can simply go tell my mom, I'm hungry. And I eat, and I'm satisfied. And the next stage is actually something about I am my relationship. So this is the stage when most people, according to him, are kind of stuck in America. That I am my relationship. So the relationship I have defines what I am and my value. So that's most important for that stage. If you grow or evolve, according to him, a little bit more, then you miraculously see that you have relationship. You're not relationship itself. You and your relationships are not the same thing. And the next stage is, fifth stage actually, is you acknowledge finally interdependency. I and you are somewhat interconnected. So we are all connected. My well-being, your well-being is equally important. Doesn't mean mine is over yours or yours has to be over mine. It's equally important. And you can make healthy and wise decision depending on the case and the time. There is no absolute golden answer for all situations. We all know that, right? I mean, you can say love solves everything, but that's not even true. Depending on the situation and the moment, case by case, we all know things are different. So that's according to that medical doctor. If you come to religious sections, God in the beginning tells you that you are image and likeness of the Creator. And a second creation story tells that you have first part from physical world and that you become living being by receiving the breath of life from God. That's something. If you go to Buddhistic, Hinduistic world, everything that you experience in this physical reality is somewhat dream. It's to a degree unreal. Because the true you, your very self, your soul, is journeying through this kind of enlightenment. And your goal is not to stuck in any stage, but to go through and evolve and enlighten and get out of it. Therefore, everything you experience is illusion. If you come to Confucian way, Confucius does not acknowledge life after. But he kind of sees in a way that human, the way human is such a highly functional intellectual being, we have obligation to learn the way of heaven and actually live that way. And if you go to other religions, somehow there is somewhat comparison or similarity that's emphasized between humans and the divine. It could be the result of such an exalted, elevated ego, the humans believing that, hey, we can be gods. But also at the same time, truthfully, you may have something that's very special within you, the way what you are. And you may have such a special power to do a lot of things. And all religion agrees one thing. To initiate that power, you not only have to know about it, understand about it, but somehow you have to believe it. It is not about like coming to church and saying to the pastor, I believe you. That belief to me is somewhat not that deep. It could last a day, it could last a week. Right? The way that is you seeing yourself inside, you know it, understand it, and you believe it, really believe it. And that's the magic key. So this is my first reflection to you. So deeply going down to your mind, do you see any promising answer about what you are? Is it a matter of choice? Well, answer to that is sorry, but yes and no. To a degree, it's a matter of choice. But again, it's also a matter of acknowledgement. One advice that Swedenborg gives us is that to see what I am truly, I need to trace what I'm delighted about, things that delight me. And don't get lost in that track, because when you are thinking about things that delight you, it feels good, and also it feels like everything you're doing is good. And that's one definition of Swedenborg's what good means to us. We often define good as things that pleases me. Whatever it is, it pleases me. Somehow I feel that as good. And whatever it is, if it hurts me or brings me a pain, I call that not good or evil. Now you understand the trouble, complain of the people in the desert. They were freed from being slave. A big deal, wasn't it? They cried out to their God to save them, because the new Pharaoh was so oppressing and giving them a lot of this bad living conditions. They became forced slaves. They wanted to be out of that. So God led them out of that. But then the first complaint is what? We don't get the food. We don't get the water. Are you going to kill us? See, in a way, that's what we do. In the process of becoming something that's better than right now me, we need to go through this process called temptation. That's like going through a desert. And going through a desert, you're guaranteed that there's not enough water and not enough food. An interesting thing, however, is God fed these people. So there is spiritual nutrition actually coming in. But just that, not the way that we would love it. So reason I'm mentioning all this is checking out things that we delight, things that delight us. It's a wonderful thing. But that's not all. We also need to be somewhat objective on it and see either these are indeed good things or is it just good for me. If you really think in a calm, peaceful mind, which way delights you better? You do things, good things to other people, make other people's life a little better. Because of you, because of what you have done, what you've said, other people may get a little bit easier in their life or even improved better. Or have a smile on their face. Is that better? Or you become the cause of their frowns, their agitation, irritation, and their life get burdened because of you. I put it in this black and white, so simple and clear, right? But yet, life we live is not like that simple and clear. One thing that I heard, very important thing from actually Lori in today's class book reading is that if I can just remember that, if I can just remember that I have such a power, and also it pleases me too in a good way. If I remember that, to be just nice or be mindful of my actions so that I can do things just a little different. And that can be very delightful. Instead of just washed away by the task and work and the list of things that to do and the world of competition and the news and all that. Just I can just remember that. How can you remember that? But that's meditation teaching comes in is you meditate in a way so you kind of imprint it, like engrave it into your mind. You're creating almost a system so that if you give a certain condition, it comes to you, like become a second habit, second nature. How do you make such a thing? I think it's very simple. You all know by doing it every day. So if anybody wants to do meditation, simple sharing rule is that you do it every day. 5 minutes, that's all I say to everybody. But anyway, today, as our last one, I'd like to invite you into a self-reflection with the sound of the call. And I encourage you to do exactly the thing. So I believe your mind is pretty calm right now. And so bring the things that gives you delight. Again, the reason I said it doesn't mean that you need to criticize them. Don't criticize them, don't judge them, don't analyze them. Today is the day that you simply want to reflect upon it. So, as I sound the gong, kind of with the help of the gong sound, to get your focus into just reflecting upon all the things that you are delighted about. And today, I want you to also experience that in that inside that delight actually is the presence of God. And there's a love. Love means love wants to help and nurture and also be delighted in the delight of others. That is the nature of kind of love. So let's close our eyes. And first thing you can do is bring the image, person that delights you the most. And then start your journey.